This is a special report from ABC News. Israel retaliates. I'm Richard Cantu. The issue now is,
who is going to blink? Who is going to decide, okay, enough is enough. We don't want to further escalate.
ABC News contributor Elizabeth Newman is ex-Homeland Security, a senior U.S. official telling ABC News Israeli missiles hit at least one site in western Iran. Air defense batteries heard firing at a major airbase and a nuclear power plant near Isfahan. Since then, operations at three Iranian airports, including Isfahan, have resumed. ABC News contributor Mick Mulroy, ex-Defense Department, says world powers must talk down both sides.
Diplomacy always has to be what leads here. Obviously, we're already in a shooting war, which means diplomacy has failed. But that doesn't mean you give up on it.
The Israelis were retaliating for last weekend's drone and missile attack by Iran after an Israeli airstrike in Damascus, Syria, killed two Iranian generals. This is ABC News. Authorities in Southwest Ohio released police body cam imagery of the aftermath of the fatal shooting of an Uber driver, both of whom had been scammed.
81-year-old William Brock, seen moments after he shot 61-year-old Lolitha Hall, telling Clark County deputies he had received a call from someone demanding $12,000 for bail money for a relative of his. It was a scam.
This guy trying to say he had a nephew in jail.
Authorities believe the same scammers targeted the Uber driver through the app, hiring her to pick up a package from Brock's home without telling her what they told him. The homeowner prevents her from leaving, shooting her three times, then calling 911.
Happy 67th birthday to Fatu the gorilla, who came to what was then called the West Berlin Zoo at age 2 in 1959 and who just had her 67th birthday. Believed to be the oldest gorilla in the world, wild gorillas don't live anywhere near that long. Fatu served up a treat of fruit and vegetables. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More remains have been found believed to belong to a young woman killed in Milwaukee. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office says the remains were found along the shore of Lake Michigan in South Milwaukee early Thursday. 19-year-old Sharday Robinson was last seen April 1st. 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson is charged with killing her. A new study links long-term exposure to air pollution to an increased risk of dementia. Dr. Alan Cronenberger Andrade is a neurologist. He says the results beg for more research.
We see that there is really evidence linking air pollution to cognitive decline and dementia risk.
The study says people who live near highways have it worst of all. 120,000 people in Wisconsin live with Alzheimer's disease. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Bucks in the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks begin a best-of-seven series against the Indiana Pacers Sunday night, a team they lost to 4 out of 5 games this past season. I asked Bucks head coach Doc Rivers if he's had talks with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, just talking about the other games. You know, talked to him a lot about the 5 games they've had with Indiana and things that he's seen and things he thinks we need to do, things we can't do anymore. So he's been valuable there.
Marquette introducing their new women's head basketball coach. coach. Kara Consuegra was an assistant at MU before becoming the head coach at Charlotte. I asked, what's it like being back at Marquette as a head coach?
It feels like a homecoming. Marquette is really, really special to us. The community is special to us. You know, we have a lot of friends, family, and this is a place we always wanted to be. So to have the opportunity to come back and represent this community and this university, it means a lot to me and my family.
That's Marquette's Kara Consuegra. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Frost advisory in effect overnight, as we'll see lows by daybreak in the lower 30s, mostly clear skies and light west winds. After the frost, Friday morning, we'll see sunshine, breezy, and highs in the lower 50s, upper 40s Saturday. Currently 41 degrees.
Civic Media. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you'd like to call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very, very good show coming up for you today.
Packed, busy, exciting.
Special guests. Very special guests. Excited to be talking to Wisconsin's junior U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is going to be joining us after the 11 o'clock news.
But senior in our hearts.
Absolutely. And before the senator is able to join us, we did receive another one of those completely legitimate and obviously real attack ad.
You're really convincing.
I know.
It came to us in a manila envelope.
It did. It was unmarked, but it just said, you know, you need to run this.
And Jane was like, Greg, it's not vanilla envelope. It's manila. And it had a CD-ROM in it.
So we're to run this completely real and totally legitimate attack ad coming up at about 10:50.
Yeah.
So if you would like to stick around for that, that would be great. And again, if you ever want to join us, call, text 855-75-CIVIC. Download the app. That way you can call and text directly to the show from the app. And it works that way for all of the stations in the Civic Media Network. So if you're listening in La Crosse on WISS or on the Eagle in La Crosse. Yeah. Oh, nice. You can text and call in directly from the app. So it's free and it's pretty good. We're going to start out with, and we have talked about this a lot, Greg Bach. We have spoken about the increasing number of threats towards our elected officials, towards our election workers, towards librarians. The list seems endless.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And now, according to a report from NBC Montana, of course, Mike Gallagher, who represents Wisconsin's 8th District, is supposed to be stepping down tomorrow. That was the date that he gave.
Correct.
There was a hearing on Tuesday about China. He's a hearing of the House Select Committee on China over the Chinese possible connection to fentanyl here in the U.S. Afterwards, he was asked about the end of his time in Congress, and he said, quote, "This is more just me wanting to prioritize being with my family. I signed up for the death threats and the late night swatting, but they did not. And for a young family, I would say this job is really hard," unquote.
You know, we've said in the past when lawmakers, elected officials step down, we usually say with a wink in our eye and a sneer in our smile, like, we're stepping down for family matters. When, you know, and there are definitely situations where they're using that as an excuse.
Oh, yes.
Because they just don't want to run again because of whatever they want to decide. But for family reasons, it's always a good catch-all. But this is a situation where not only is it true, but it's abhorrent. Because, you live a life in the spotlight. if you are an elected official, whether you're an alderman or a congressman or a senator in D.C.
Absolutely.
But this goes beyond any sort of, it's reprehensible. And I feel for Congressman Gallagher, and no one should have to go through this. Not even people that I don't like in Congress.
Absolutely. No one should have to go through this just for doing their job.
Yeah.
It has been confirmed, again, from this report from NBC Montana, the Brown County Sheriff's Office, which patrols where Mike Gallagher lives with his family, a case number was assigned late last year to a swatting incident related to the congressman. Greg, can you explain for people who may not understand what is swatting?
So what I know from swatting, because believe it or not, I have a friend of mine who's been the target of this.
Oh.
When somebody calls the cops,
law enforcement
the law enforcement and says, hey, so-and-so has got a gun, and he's pointing at his wife's head and making death threats. And they go in, SWAT goes in, and they kick down the door. There's no knocking, say, can I speak to so-and-so about this?
Is everything okay?
It is kick down the door.
Yeah.
It is invade the space. It is search the area. It is upending your life for a day, a week, a month, depending on what happens. And it happens as a form of revenge. It comes as a tactic of attack. And some people might say, and in the case of my friend, and I won't mention his name on the air, but in the case of my friend, he was getting swatted 2-3 times a week.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. It's a huge story. And he actually got written up, in the Independent, I believe.
Oh my.
My thought was, okay, well, if I am the cops or I am SWAT and we're getting these calls over and over and over again, at what point do we just show up and go, excuse me, is this a thing? But this is what I was told. What if that's the one time
exactly.
It's not?
Yeah, exactly.
They cannot take chances. They cannot make assumptions. They have to go in literally guns blazing to try to control the situation. And when they walk in, and this is a waste of taxpayer money,
absolutely.
Resources, manpower. I mean, you got a SWAT team. Not every city has multiple teams. So if something's happening at someone's at a bank, but yet they're at this guy's house and nothing's going on, this is bad. So that is a very long/brief explanation of what the situation is.
And one of the reasons why we're talking about now, Mike Gallagher is supposed to step down tomorrow.
Yes.
Mike Johnson, who is the Speaker of the House, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more later in the hour, is now saying that he is going to bring aid package votes, separate votes for Ukraine and Israel and the border. And that is going to happen on Saturday. So if Gallagher steps down tomorrow, he won't be voting on these.
He will not be. And you said, and I agree with this, Gallagher seems like he would vote for all of the aid.
I believe he would.
I mean,
yeah, I really believe he would. He's been overseas. He knows the importance of Ukraine and Ukraine's position in the world and Ukraine's alignment to the West.
Yeah. Yeah. We've harped on him in the past. But once he announced that he was leaving, especially when he announced that he was leaving, like, immediately, it came to the realization this was one of the more level-headed members of the GOP that the Congress needs. And unfortunately, the current landscape is wearing too thin, where these men and women are just saying, you know what?
It's not worth it.
Forget this. Yeah. I'm going home.
They're getting chased out.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
No.
It's not.
No, not at all.
Speaking of threats and just threats in general. It's the second day of the Trump trial in New York City about him paying off that money to Stormy Daniels in order to bury the story before the election. That's essentially what the case is about. They had 7 jurors seated yesterday. Now they have 5. A juror seated in the trial was the second to be dismissed today. The woman said she had concerns about her ability to be fair, and that is because reporters like Jesse Waters from Fox News broadcast extensive biographical details about her last night, or Tuesday night. Her neighborhood, what she does, education, marital status, what industry her fiancé works in. And this juror came in and said, I'm getting phone calls from people who know me saying, that's you, isn't it? That's you. And she's afraid.
And imagine the amount of time it'll pass for people who do not, who she does not know, to start calling her as well.
Yes.
And also, I think it's rather offensive, Jane, that you referred to Jesse Waters as a reporter. That's her offensive.
Talking head.
That's her. Yeah. Full of hot air talking head.
There's lots of things we could call exactly. Jesse Waters. We don't really have to, we don't have time for all of that.
We don't have permission from the government.
And then another juror today had not disclosed that he had previously been arrested for tearing down political posters. Why do you think you can get away with that? They're looking at your social media accounts from 8, 10 years yeah. ago. You think that that little arrest that I had is not gonna come up? Come on, people.
Yeah, I would understand why they even get called in the first place. Like, they wouldn't have the names in front of them and have like a quick, it's just at least for arrests, you know? I mean, like, granted, jaywalking tickets and speeding tickets, but like, if you're arrested for, you know, tearing down private property, that should be in front of you right away. I mean, that person should have been struck. But yeah, that's ridiculous.
So now
it's going to take so long.
It is going to take long. Now, the justice warning members of the press not to report on jurors' current or former workplaces so they can't be identified. Yeah, because again, if these details are released, you know who's going to be the first one standing in the courthouse steps bleeding about them? The man who's on trial.
Yeah.
Because this whole violating the gag order, that hearing's coming up next week.
Yeah.
And I've seen reports this morning that he already violated it like 7 times yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like to say to like the judge saying, well, you shouldn't be doing this. And I bet you the reporters who aren't saying anything, who aren't calling these jurors, who aren't reporting their information, are going to say, yeah, of course I'm not going to. I respect the system. I respect the process. But there are some people in that room who are like, yeah, okay, what are you going to do? Arrest me? I don't care.
And you're absolutely right.
Shake that finger, judge. Well, you shouldn't, better not do that. What are you going to, like, throw him in jail for 3 years? I don't know, but I just.
That might be extreme.
We are in extreme situations. It goes back to what I said yesterday and what I've been saying lately is like, actions seem to have no consequences at a certain level. Certain individuals in certain industries have no consequences. They get to say and do whatever they want. And not only, it's no longer we're like saying, where's the justice? We sort of just shrug our shoulders and say, well, there's nothing. What are they going to
do? It's just the way it is.
What are they going to do? Trump is a former president. He can say whatever he wants because what are they going to do? Throw him in normal jail?
Just as a reminder, though, I think it's important that folks remember that if you are the one who is making these threatening phone calls,
yeah,
you can be charged. There have been people who have been charged.
Yeah.
For calling judges and elections officials and elections workers. So for you and me,
I mean,
let's not do that.
We talked about it a while ago. They put into law judges not being able to have like property being able to find. There was certain information you can't find out about judges anymore because right. I think it's their home addresses. That information because people are just going to their homes
and showing up. Yeah. Let's not do that.
No, thank you.
Let's not do that.
I got a dog to take care of.
Coming up. Nice campaign you got there. It'd be a shame if anything happened to it. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know what it is.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship reels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards?
The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufix started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufix charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, ready to screen your calls and check your texts at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Very excited to have U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin will be joining us after the 11 o'clock news. Then at 11:33, Paul Noonan is here from Acme Packing Company, a sports guru, to talk all things sports and a little weather and wine at 11:50 with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. So I hope you can stick around for that. I did want to do this just briefly. We all know that the former president owes lots and lots and lots of money.
Barack Obama? I knew it.
Not Barack Obama.
Oh, really?
More recently.
Oh.
Former President Trump he's been fined, almost $500 million?
$487 million.
It's a pretty hefty chunk of change. And now apparently he's found a new way to get cash. I couldn't believe it when I saw this yesterday. I literally couldn't. This is from Politico magazine. In a letter received by Republican vendors this week, the Trump campaign is asking that down ballot candidates who use his name, image, or likeness in their fundraising efforts have to give at least 5% of the proceeds to the Trump campaign. So if anybody wants to try and latch on to his star and use his likeness, you got to pay for it.
Hook that wagon to that fading orange star. Hey, Jane, I think you're mischaracterizing this whole thing.
Yeah.
They asked. They didn't demand. They didn't stomp their foot or bash their fist into their hand like an old 30s gangster and say, "Man, you're going to give us all the money. Me, see." They asked nicely.
Here's how it read. Quote, beginning tomorrow, we ask that all candidates and committees who choose to use President Trump's name, image, and likeness split a minimum of 5% of all fundraising solicitations to Trump National Committee. This includes, but is not limited to, sending the House file, prospecting vendors, and advertising. Any split that's higher than 5% will be seen favorably by the RNC and the Trump campaign,
which are one and the same.
Yes, and is routinely reported to the highest levels of leadership within both organizations. Yeah, Lara Trump is one of the co-heads now of the Republican National Committee, and they're funneling all of their money to Trump.
I'm going to say something that's going to get me in trouble. Not with the FCC, just with, whomever. I did a lot of listening to podcasts and books and documentaries about Scientology in the past few years, especially over lockdown. This sounds like this. It's like, we want your money, funnel it to us, you owe us, and we will tell the people in charge, especially the man you worship, that you did good. And if you don't, that's on you. You don't love us enough. What's wrong with you? Don't you want to make America free and great again?
Well, I absolutely think that they will be looking at who is running and who is not contributing.
Oh gosh. Yes.
Right.
Yes. And if they win without Trump, like if they choose like, oh, that's fine, I won't give you 5% of anything, I'll run on my own. And because what they're saying is you can use it. You should use it and then give us a little bit back. If you don't, and you win, we'll primary you. If you lose, you're a loser. If you lose with his image, we never knew you.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no winning scenario for anyone running in the Republican Party right now. I mean, it really is no longer the RNC. It's the TNC. It's really what it is. It's the TNC now. The Trump National Committee.
Don Jr. said that on January 6th.
Yeah.
This is no longer the Republican Party. This is the Trump. This is the party of Trump. And real quickly, we have bottom of the hour news is coming up. Peter Barca has announced that he will be running against Republican Brian Stiles, seeking a fourth term in the first congressional district. Of course, that's where former House Speaker Paul Ryan represented the seat to target for Democrats, according to WTMJ.com. The 68-year-old Barca held the first congressional district from 93 to 95. He's the first well-known Democrat to get into this race. National Democrats are expected to back Barca's campaign. In a statement, Peter Barca cited his long record of public service and said that shows he's a fighter for working families, contrasting himself with a do-nothing dysfunctional Congress. Tough to argue with that.
Ron Johnson's favorite kind of Congress is do-nothing.
And they're good at it. Although, coming up after the 10:30 news, some good news. Something, I'm not going to say is going to, I have to couch this very carefully because I don't want to oversell. Something might get done in Washington, which is something we should all celebrate.
I'm looking forward to it right now. I mean, if you're looking at me live stream, this is my excited face.
Peter Barca left the assembly in 2019 when Governor Evers tapped him to be Secretary of the State Department of Revenue. He resigned last month. He did step down as minority leader over grumbling about his support for a $3 billion incentive package for Foxconn. That should be called the Foxconn boondoggle.
Yeah. Foxconned.
The Foxconned is absolutely right. We'll see whether or not Brian Stiles has, I think he has a fair amount of support in his district. He seems.
I mean, he's.
He's a further right Paul Ryan, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I don't think Paul Ryan would be welcome back in the party anymore.
No, he's a dino. I mean, rhino for sure. There's no way. And he's not presenting himself as, he's presenting himself right now as that Republican of what I've talked about before of when you're in office, you can never bend. You can never break. You can never compromise. You have to be obstinate from every turn. And that, I mean, even when he was in office like 5-6 years ago, it was bad. Now it's even worse. But as soon as they get out of office, oh man, they're willing to talk about their party. They're willing to talk about Trump. They're willing to talk about the problems. They're willing to talk about everything, but they won't do anything when they're actually in power representing the people, especially in the first district, who I live in the first district.
Oh, that's right.
And it's just disappointing to see. And this is beyond party, honestly. When Paul Ryan left, it was sort of just given to Brian Stiles. He has not done anything remarkable.
Not that I'm aware of.
I want a vibrant candidate there. And if it's a Republican who gets things done, and I know a lot of you right now might be laughing so hard you're kicking over your radio, but like I live in that district. I want someone who gets things done. And right now that's just not it. It's just a comfy seat because it's couched around Robin Voss. And if you're a Republican in that area, oh, you are safe as safe. I mean, the man faced 2 recalls in what, 3 weeks? And he's fine.
Yes.
So, and that by recalls, I'm talking about Robin Voss, not Brian Stiles. But yeah, it's, I have thoughts.
I'm sure you do have thoughts. Well, Dan Schaefer will be here tomorrow from the recombobulation area. And I know we're going to talk about the Marquette Law School poll came out yesterday. And we'll be talking about that and probably talk a little bit about Peter Barca deciding to run against Brian Stiles in Wisconsin's first congressional district. All right. News is coming up next. And then good things.
What?
Maybe could possibly get done in Washington.
I love it.
You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This is a special report from ABC News. Israel retaliates. I'm Richard Cantu. The issue now is...
Who is going to blink? Who is going to decide, okay, enough is enough. We don't want to further escalate.
ABC News contributor Elizabeth Newman is ex-Homeland Security, a senior U.S. official telling ABC News Israeli missiles hit at least one site in western Iran. Air defense batteries heard firing at a major airbase and a nuclear power plant near Isfahan. Since then, operations at three Iranian airports, including Isfahan, have resumed. ABC News contributor Mick Mulroy, ex-Defense Department, says world powers must talk down both sides.
Diplomacy always has to be what leads here. Obviously, we're already in a shooting war, which means diplomacy has failed. But that doesn't mean you give up on it.
The Israelis were retaliating for last weekend's drone and missile attack by Iran after an Israeli airstrike in Damascus, Syria, killed two Iranian generals. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican leaders of the Wisconsin legislature are suing to reverse one of Governor Evers' partial vetoes in the state budget. Evers struck language in a larger literacy bill that would have also sent money to private voucher and independent charter schools. The question is whether or not the bill was an appropriations bill. Wisconsin's Attorney General says the state has lost two-thirds of the money it used to get to support crime victims. Josh Call says money in the state budget is helping a little.
Even with that $10 million, there's a massive shortfall. Plus, that $10 million is only available to certain victim services, and it's just for 1 year. So we're facing very significant cuts.
On the other hand, Call says sexual assault survivors have more tools to pursue justice than ever. Call spoke to the Wisconsin Crime Victims' Rights Conference yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Quentin Tarantino is bound and determined to make his 10th film his last. The jury is still out on which film that will be, as he pulled away from a project he had in the works called The Movie Critic. The Hollywood Reporter also says he was working on an R-rated Star Trek film that has also fallen by the wayside. Tarantino maintains that directors do not get better as they get older, and he wants his filmography to remain unblemished. Actress Sydney Sweeney received an apology from producer Carol Baum. Baum, whose credits include Father of the Bride, badmouthed Sweeney while giving a talk in New York, relating to the audience what she told her students at USC, saying, "Explain this girl to me. She's not pretty and she can't act." The New York Post says that due to the backlash from Sweeney's representatives, Baum apologized, sort of, saying, "Crapping on an actor like that in public usually isn't my style." You sure? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Frost advisory in effect overnight, as we'll see lows by daybreak in the lower 30s, mostly clear skies and light west winds. After the frost, Friday morning, we'll see sunshine, breezy, and highs in the lower 50s, upper 40s Saturday. Right now, it's 40.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute with a couple quick thoughts about boosting your credit score. The most important thing you can do is paying your bills on time. But I've got a way you can make your payments even on timer. Each month, set up not one, but two evenly spaced automatic payments so that your credit balance is always as low as possible. You're not gonna pay more, you're just paying the same amount in two smaller hits to keep the card's overall balance low. This guarantees that whenever the credit bureaus check in on how much credit you're using, they're gonna see you using an almost ridiculously low amount of your credit limit. The bureaus like this, and then they bump up your credit score. So set that extra auto payment up each month, and let's give your credit score a boost. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips or text MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Pete Schwabe.
On my next show, I'm joined in studio by award-winning musician, chef Ace Champion, and Terry Barr, who will preview some music she will feature on Max Inc. Saturday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Wherever you are listening, if you're listening on WISS in Oshkosh or on the Eagle in La Crosse, you can always call. You can text at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Looking forward to having our guest, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, joining us after the 11 o'clock news. She's carving out a little time for us. First time she's been on our show. I know that Pat Kreitlow has talked to her.
Yes.
And Maggie Dawn, certainly our other colleagues here. And I think even Todd Alba. So we're very much looking forward to Senator Baldwin joining Matt Nair on Air coming up after the 11 o'clock news. Stick around for that. Something actually might get done in Washington, Greg Bach. And this would be good.
Hold on. I just got to prepare myself.
I know. Just lock yourself in.
I'm prepping for the news and then waiting for the shoe to fall. What shoe? The other one. All right, go on.
The House of Representatives, Greg Bach, expected to vote on sending additional aid to Ukraine and Israel on Saturday as part of a $95 billion military funding bill. The package is divided into four bills. So again, it's aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, aid to Taiwan. The fourth includes sanctions on Russia, China, and Iran, as well as allowing the seizure of frozen Russian bank assets to help Ukraine. I don't understand why we haven't done that already. Because we froze these Russian assets and seized them. What are we waiting for?
They may have been waiting for this opportunity. I mean, I think with these aid packages, I know I can't speak to Israel, but I know with Ukraine, we're also in that money. It's money. It's a lot of equipment, the value of the equipment. I don't know how much more equipment we can send them. So maybe we're going to say, all right, we're going to take the money that we have frozen and we're going to give that cash to you. I don't know. That's
a good question.
That's a fantastic speculation on behalf of yours truly, Greg Bach.
Speaker Mike Johnson, of course, is getting all kinds of heat for even being willing to hold any votes from the Cuckoo Caucus, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and the other ilk. But we have a clip from Speaker Mike Johnson explaining his reasoning on why he wants to push for this aid. Calvin, let's play that clip.
My philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage. I could make a selfish decision and do something that's different. But I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. This is not a game. It's not a joke. We can't play politics with this. We have to do the right thing. And I'm going to allow an opportunity for every single member of the House to vote their conscience and their will on this. And I think that's the way this institution is supposed to work. And I'm willing to take personal risk for that because we have to do the right thing and history will judge us.
Well done, Mike Johnson.
I'm going to say this. I've listened to that clip a couple times now, and there can always be gamesmanship. There can always be a ulterior motive in this situation. I don't want to believe that. I want to believe that he wants to do the right thing, and I want to shake his hand and just say thank you. Honestly, I do, because you don't get that kind of I don't know.
Admission?
Like, admission, but also it just seems like he's speaking from a man who professes to be Christian. We got to do, and these, you'll be judged. I mean, there are big implications for him, he and his faith. So
Sue Koloski on the live stream says, now he says that when he's been stalling this since February. I hear you, Sue.
Yeah.
Seriously, this has been dragging on and on and on and on. I guess I'm just grateful that something is going to get done finally, because we talked to retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson, was it last week?
Yes.
About the importance of aiding Ukraine and what this will mean for all of us and certainly Europe. If Vladimir Putin is allowed to just take over Ukraine, he's not going to stop there.
Absolutely.
And I guess that seems to be sinking in with some.
Yeah.
Better than nothing.
And as important as stating his thoughts on the implementation of that aid to those countries is him standing up and saying, I got to do what's right, not what's popular with my party. And that's not something you hear the GOP say often. I mean, that is almost signing your own death warrant in that position. And Sue, I totally understand what you're saying and I get what you're thinking. And I also don't disagree. But for this moment, let the as he says, the chips fall where they may. Let's get this money over to the people who need it. And then we can ask those questions later and say, Speaker Johnson, you put the money through, but you could have done it months before. Why didn't you do it? But for now, I stand by what I said.
We'll take it.
I'll take it. Shake his hand. Thank you, sir.
Tony Zimmerman on the live stream. I did not expect to hear those words coming out of his mouth. I applaud it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Again, you could have regrown your spine a couple months ago, but at least you found it for now.
I mean,
I do question, though. See, here's my question, because Mike Johnson was just in Mar-a-Lago last week and made an appearance with Donald Trump. Talking about illegals voting, which is already illegal. And anyway, that was a... I wonder, because Donald Trump does not want Ukraine to get aid.
Nope.
What was promised? What was promised when they met? Mr. Former President, I'm going to have to do this. I have to approve this aid in exchange for...
If I'm...
Trump doesn't do anything without a quid pro quo.
If I'm politically savvy, we know that, first impeachment. If I'm politically savvy at all, I'm going to say, look, we need to put this package through. It needs to go through. At the end of the day, he doesn't really care whether or not Ukraine gets the money. I mean, I understand why we think he cares, but he doesn't care about anything. So he says to the president, if I'm him, drag my name through the mud. Lambast me. Use me as a political punching bag on every pulpit, on every podium you stand on for the next 2 weeks. But you tell your goons, this job is mine, and they will fall away. Because Marjorie Taylor Greene is the type of person who is barking, and as soon as she gets that truck, as soon as she gets that toy or treat, she's like, I don't know what to do with this. So, and I'm not equating her to a, I am equating to her dog, but my point is, like, we've been talking about this as far as the GOP goes with abortion. They whine and moan and proselytize and protest, and they finally got what they wanted, and now there are consequences. Marjorie Taylor Greene gets more attention by calling for the resignation of Mike Johnson than actually getting it.
Actually doing anything.
So maybe he just says,
I'll
be the guy who's standing there getting all the shots fired at him.
I'll be the punching bag.
Exactly. But I get to keep my job and you can drag my name through the mud, but we need to get this thing done.
I'm curious if you have thoughts about why Mike Johnson suddenly seems to be ready to do the right thing. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube and Twitter, still trying to appease more of the cuckoo caucus. Johnson did announce a fifth bill to provide further funding for security measures at the southern border with Mexico, a policy many in the GOP have made clear is a top priority. Again, every bill requires a separate vote.
I thought they were leaving the border alone until Trump got reelected. I thought that was the directive. Also, if I was Mike Johnson, I'd say, take credit for it too. Because you know Trump will do that. He can say, I hate this bill. We don't need to be sending the money there. We need to make America great again. Southern border, blah, blah, blah. But you know, it wouldn't have gotten done had I not sat down with Mike Johnson.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Like, he's the master of that.
Yes, yes, yes. This, of course, is after months of deadlock. The original Senate bill on the $95 billion aid package has been off to the side since February. They designated $60 billion of military aid to Ukraine, $14 billion to Israel, $8 billion to Taiwan, $10 billion in humanitarian assistance. This is after months of lobbying from U.S. allies about how important it is to help Ukraine defend itself. And I would like to think in our conversations with the retired Brigadier General, in our conversation with a retired Rear Admiral that we talked to several months ago about this and NATO and Ukraine, it makes me hopeful that people are listening and paying attention.
I hope so. I really do. I really, really, really do. I hate saying this because we say it every year or every 6 months. It just might be the most important election of our lifetime, my lifetime at least. And I don't know what's going to happen. And I hate talking like that because I don't like being the negative Nancy, and I don't like thinking about it in those terms. But I truly do not know what's going to happen.
Turnout is going to be critically important.
Oh my gosh.
Critically, critically important, especially here in Wisconsin, where last time it came down to 21,000 votes. Mm-hmm. This time it could be in the thousands of votes, yep, not tens of thousands of votes.
Yep.
And that's why turnout is so very important. And I understand people are exhausted by politics, and I understand the despair and the why bother.
Ennui.
You gotta bother.
You can't sit there and go, I don't care about politics. Politics doesn't affect me. I don't like this stuff. If you say that, you come from an incredible place of privilege. There are people around you who are affected by it.
Oh, yes.
And it's your duty to know about these policies. And whether you vote right or left, it's in your best interest to be somewhat literate on what's going on. And if you want to be literate on as far as the vote and who your reps are and what's on your ballot, if you need to get an absentee ballot, we could not more strongly tell you to go to myvote.wi.gov.
Use it.
Because that will tell you who is your rep from your president to your dog catcher.
Yep.
If you have a dog catcher elections.
I don't think we do anymore.
But you can also find out what's on your ballot. You can sign up for absentee ballots for the rest of the year.
Yes.
But most importantly, you find out if you are registered to vote. Because shenanigans or not.
Yes.
Sometimes you come off the voter rolls. So that's an important thing too.
Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. I'm pretty confident that this is the whole objective of the Republican Party.
And slick. That
is to just keep hammering and hammering and hammering away at voting rights and voters and trying to disenfranchise people until people, they just get so weary of fighting back that they'll stop. That's the strategy, I'm pretty convinced. That and, apparently there are also, in at least some states, going to be some vigilantes hanging out. Now, they have to stay a certain distance from the voting, from the polling area in Wisconsin, I believe. But there are going to be some people hanging out around states that are, critical in this election. And basically, they're going to be asking anybody that might look like they're, some kind of foreign-born person, they're going to ask, well, are you a citizen? You can't vote if you're not a citizen.
They're
going to be trying to intimidate everybody in any way possible.
Yep, I absolutely agree with you, Jack. I do. And we've talked about, there are going to be heavy breathers who are going to want to stand in line when people are voting and so they can look over your shoulder and scare you, though.
Yeah.
But they do. They're going to attempt this, which is why knowledge is power. We're going to keep talking about it. And as much as humanly possible, make it fun is the wrong way to sell it. But at least, hopefully, keep people engaged.
Yes, yes.
And interested and get enthusiastic about it.
We will use the tools of lighthearted entertainment sometimes, but we are deadly serious when it comes to voting and being represented and understanding the issues.
Stay with us. When we return, vicious, totally real, completely legitimate attack ads just keep landing in my mailbox. You're
so
listening.
Popular.
I know. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Are you making plans to honor Mother Earth? April 22nd is Earth Day, and it's a Wisconsin idea. Our Senator, Gaylord Nelson, created the day in 1970. It was his way of pushing environmental issues onto the national agenda. And many demonstrated in support. It worked. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency formed by December of that year. And today, Nelson's daughter, Tia, continues her dad's efforts. The Earth Day theme this year focuses on the use of plastics. It includes a reminder of the goal for a 60% reduction in the production of plastics by 2040. If you want to find a cleanup or education event to help during Earth Day week or anytime, check earthday.org. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to the dance party. Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Dr. Slide on the board, ready to take your calls at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us after the 11 o'clock news, and we're very excited about that.
Absolutely.
Very excited to have the senator join us. And before we get to these just completely real and totally legitimate attack ads that keep showing up.
Just at your doorstep.
I know. I don't know how they found me. We were talking about House Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, actually bringing aid bills to the floor, and they think they're going to vote on them on Saturday, and this includes aids for Israel, Ukraine. This is good.
Yeah.
Southern border. And we did have a texter text in who said, "The most respect I've had for a Republican political leader in a decade." Listening here in Waukesha.
I mean, that's just, that's saying a lot.
It is. And Tom from LA, maybe he's setting this up now. That way Trump can win favor with the American people and then gets elected and allow Trump to open the door for Putin. Okay, yeah, we don't know what's going on.
I mean,
in the background.
We do talk about those undecideds and those, you know, independent voters. And I mean, a little thing you can do to try to influence one or two of them. You never know. I don't know. I mean, neither one of them are talking about it, so we don't know ultimately. We'll wait for Mike Johnson's book.
I'm sure he's working on it now. They all seem to do that. All right. This first completely vicious and totally real attack ad first landed in my email box. It was a couple months ago, right?
Feels like decades now. Feels like decades.
In case you didn't have an opportunity to hear it, Calvin, I think we'll re-rack that, and let's listen to the number one attack ad.
What has Senator Tammy Baldwin done to Wisconsin? Let's take a look at her record. Last year, Senator Baldwin helped lower the cost of insulin for Wisconsin seniors. Shocking? Oh, yes. A $35 cap on out-of-pocket costs for senior citizens on Medicare? And there's more. Tammy Baldwin brought home $200 million to fight for clean drinking water for everyone and is helping build actual bridges in Wisconsin by securing over $3 billion through the bipartisan infrastructure law. Is this what the people of Wisconsin want? A radical socialist, communist, Marxist, liberal, feminist in a caravan? A lawmaker doing actual work on your behalf? We know better. So vote for the California guy running against Senator Tammy Baldwin. She needs to stop getting things done for Wisconsin. You guys, this is actual good stuff. Did you? Whatever. Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
That was the first one.
Shocking.
I know, it's shocking. And
made waves across the radio.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And then as I was getting ready to go to bed last night, I shows up at my door with a manila envelope.
It's vanilla.
It's vanilla on that too.
Yeah.
And handed me this and said, You gotta play this.
It was a dark, shadowy figure.
It was a dark, shadowy night. And so this is the completely real and totally legitimate attack ad number two, Calvin.
Wisconsin's two U.S. senators couldn't be more different. Democrat Tammy Baldwin keeps getting things done for her constituents.
She helped secure funding for infrastructure projects like the Blatnik Bridge and made sure Wisconsin seniors can afford life-saving insulin. But Republican Senator Ron Johnson knows exactly what needs to happen to make your life better.
I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
This November, elect the wealthy California guy who sits in frozen lakes. Just like Senator Johnson, he'll work hard when he gets to Washington, just not for you. Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC.
Ooh, hard hitting and
chills.
Just cuts right through you.
I'm just going to say this. I'm going to go on a limb here. Whoever cut those all together, genius.
What an incredible job.
Give that guy 10 raises.
I absolutely. Yes.
I can't believe it. This is shocking information, Jane. You heard it here first on Matt and Air on Air. Exclusive.
It is exclusive.
Because we are hard-hitting microphone talker intos.
With words.
With sounds, words that come out of our face.
Yes, we make sounds and that come out of our mouth and turn into words.
Yes.
So, well, I wanted to play that before the senator joins us. I didn't want to throw her off my angle of that ad. I think that wouldn't be polite.
I figured, like, listening to that ad, I figured we'd talk to her about some of those things, like the infrastructure deal, talk about the things like, you know, the inhaler prices being capped. I mean, those are important things.
They are important things.
I don't drive on the Blatnik Bridge and I don't have an inhaler, but you know what? Those good things have knock-on effects for all of us, because if it starts there, what else is she going to fight for? And honestly, I told you, I tried to look up how much money she has brought back to Wisconsin, and this is how cynical the internet is. When I looked that up, I'm like, how much money has, I typed it in and said, how much money do politicians get from lobbyists? I'm like, no, I want to look
That's
up something
not the
good.
Question.
Yeah, but it's a lot of money. It's hundreds of millions and billions of dollars.
For the residents of Wisconsin.
Who voted for her or not.
Yes. For all Wisconsinites. Isn't that remarkable?
And just so people are aware, and they're hearing that Ron Johnson sample, that's not clipped out of context. He said in an interview that it's their job to make sure nothing gets done. The only thing that's getting done is your tax dollars being spent.
Well, and again, to give credit where credit is due, they are so good at doing nothing. You can't ignore.
You did it, boys.
That level of accomplishment. It's not fair.
Round of golf on me at a public course.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was fun. I don't. You never know when I'm going to get another delivery like that in the middle of the night with a guy in a mask. It could happen at any time.
Anytime.
I'll keep you posted on that.
Thank you. When are they going to visit me? I want a dark, shadowy figure to visit my house.
I'll send him over to your house.
Awesome.
No problem with that.
Awesome.
News is coming up next. Stay right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome Brady Ewing, former Badger and NFL star, Phil Nee on National Record Store Day, and Tim Gerson, LA film critic.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that.
You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.